Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
And welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion. Please join us now for devotion. We're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Dr. Nooks has a scripture for us. And then we will conclude with prayer. So, would you begin with the scripture, Dr. Nix, and then we could do the song, because I'll have it pulled up by then, the words.
Okay, I've got the song.
Okay.
Oh, you've got
our scripture.
Go ahead and do it. If you have the song, go ahead.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born.
Amen.
Our text is taken from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, and it reads this way: Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it.
Amen. God, we come before you tonight, and we just thank you for the opportunity to study your word. For so many people don't have the opportunity to study. So many people don't even have the congregations that are willing to sit down and pull out the truth and divide it. So we're asking, Lord, tonight that you would continue to help us, to help to spread the word out so that people all over your world can understand your word, specifically over the strongholds that they have to endure in their lives, or the fact that how they can overcome them is really what I'm trying to say. So we're just asking that you would teach us tonight, to walk with us tonight, to even have our speech be such that it's overcoming. We thank you, O God, for the people who will join us in the Bible study tonight. We're going to start off with a few people, and they'll pick up as we go through, but we're asking that you lead, guide, and direct the right people to come to the Bible study so that they can then engage and help us show the light of your word throughout this whole entire country. We thank you so much. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. We're trusting you for all things. We love you. Amen. Well, Amen. Tonight we are having a Bible study on the theme, Overcoming Strongholds. And starting the first of the month, understanding what strongholds are. I'll ask Dr. Nooks when he begins to start the study if he would again remind us of the definition. And then the second thing we talked about, how we overcome those strongholds personally, those personal strongholds we have. And then tonight, which I think is really important, and specifically during this time of the season when we're around friends and family for the Christmas season and Advent, that we're talking about overcoming family religious strongholds. You know, this is the time of year when we really have the most challenge during our holiday season, where people get upset and they don't talk to each other for years. And so, Lord, we're asking that you teach us, help us. Help us help somebody else who's out there who's struggling, whose family member that they haven't touched or talked to because of some stronghold that got in the way. And so we're asking, oh God, for insight. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our spiritual eyes, oh God, today. So we're going to turn that over to our teacher, Dr. James Nooks. Dr. Nooks, if you are ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. We're talking about strongholds tonight, and we want to focus on family and religious strongholds tonight. And strongholds, I want to go back to the definition, and I want to read our primary text. Definition of strongholds is a mindset, value system, or thought process that hinders your spiritual growth and your ability to exalt Jesus above everything in your life. And the dictionary definition has strongholds as a fortified place, a place of security or survival, a place dominated by a particular group or marked by a particular characteristic. Strongholds doesn't necessarily refer to something as extreme as demon possession, but can merely be a strong influence or persistent oppression, obsessions, hindrances, or harassment. So strongholds are a mindset, and they're a thought process that hinders us from being what we should be and from growing. Doesn't necessarily have to be the particular sin, but it's the mindset that would allow that sin to flourish. And our primary text is taken from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that's the only place in the New Testament that we find that term strongholds. But it lets us know that we're not warring against flesh, but we're warring against strongholds. But God is able to pull down those strongholds, and we need God's help to do that. But today we want to focus mm-hmm. on the strongholds that are in our families and in our churches or in our places of worship, in our faith settings. And we read our text for today came from Matthew chapter 10. I want to read that again, verses 34 through 39.
Yeah,
says, don't imagine.
Call
no,
drop.
I don't. No, not right now. It says, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. So this text focuses on the family. And who do we have on the line so far? Well, we want to ask a question.
But looks like Brett and Lester are on the line.
Yeah, Brett's here.
Okay. So we heard that text read from Matthew 10:34 through 39. So what does that say to you, Brett or Lester, about
I'm sorry,
strongholds?
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
What was that text again?
It was Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. And we're talking about family and religious strongholds tonight. And a stronghold being those things that control our minds and influence us to elevate something above God. And it's not necessarily the sin itself or what is wrong itself, but it's the mindset that exists, like in our culture, for example, or in our churches, that would allow these things to flourish. And we're talking tonight about the family and about the church. So what are some things that we have in our families that we would consider strongholds?
That's a good question, Dr. Nick. Is that you, Lester?
Unforgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And that's real big in not only just family, the personal family, but church family. That's awesome. That's number one, isn't it, Lester?
I expound on that a little bit.
Envy?
For those that might be listening on the line.
Lester? You have to get off of mute, Lester.
Oh, yes, unforgiveness and envy. And jealousy and greed.
You said expound on it a little bit?
To help our listening audience.
Because what you find is unforgiveness can continue from generation to generation. It can be passed on by unforgiveness toward a father. That becomes unforgiveness toward a husband. That becomes unforgiveness to sons. And have nothing to do with anything those particular people did. It's simply gender bias, and it can happen in the other direction, too. Unforgiveness toward a mother. That becomes unforgiveness toward a wife. That becomes unforgiveness toward daughters, and has nothing to do with those specific people. It is trying to vindicate and validate disobedience in your heart for things you've done that you know are not correct. But if you can say that all of the people in this group are bad people, then you validate or vindicate your disobedience to God's word and not forgiveness.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. An example that Lester triggered in my mind when he said that is I know some people who there's two situations. One where a lady sat in somebody else's seat, or a lady was leading in the choir, and got mad because she got the song and the other lady didn't get the song and she didn't get the lead, and felt that they favored her over the other person. I mean, it's stuff, little things that the enemy uses as a stronghold to create the vision to tear down and destroy. And in families, I've heard stories where, and in my family, where people get angry over something and they hold it against you for years and years and years, and folk don't speak and don't have a relationship because of that, because they're unwilling to forgive or at all, because they feel that being in the posture where they can hold, I don't want to forgive that person, that they're in control of the relationship, and what they don't realize is they're also the ones who was in a cage. That forgiveness, unforgiveness puts the person who's trying to keep from the other person, keep from forgiving the person, it puts them in a cage as well.
Amen. Amen. So we can begin to see how things like unforgiveness in a family can be a stronghold that needs to be torn down, because it can keep the family separated and fighting and warring for years, decades. But it's those strongholds that we're told in 2 Corinthians 10 that God allows us to tear down. We can tear them down with the power of God. We can't tear them down by ourselves. So I want to read that. Go ahead.
Before you go, can I say one more thing? And what Lester
sure.
was saying about the generational thing is that, and I know people who will say, they're not talking to some area or members in the family because their parents didn't talk to them. Because their parents had a problem with somebody, they got a problem with them. And they haven't interacted with that person. They don't know the person. They didn't try. But they're going on what they heard. And that's really deep.
Amen.
But that's an example I was trying to think of a generational type of thing that's passed on. So thank you, Brother Lester, for sharing that.
Yeah, and I've seen that demonstrated where even children of grandparents, they don't like each other like the Hatfields and the McCoys. And the children don't even know each other, but yet they hate each other. And that's terrible to pass something like that on from generation to generation. But we come against things like that in the name of Jesus, and those are the kind of things that we need to tear down. But I have another question for those that are on the line tonight. How can you tear down a stronghold if you don't even know it exists? Can you do that?
Well,
is it possible to tear down a stronghold if you never know that it exists?
No.
All right.
And can you explain what you mean when you say you come against something as well, when not right now, but when you get through with this section?
Okay, sure.
Yes, but the answer is no, but you can pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you that, and the desire to pray about certain things comes from God. So there have been times in my life where there were real strongholds that I didn't even know existed because of oaths that I did not even take, that I was not involved with, that God brought to my attention at a time in my life when I could handle it, and then led me to pray those things away. Because if someone pledges an oath and put your life behind it, that's not something you had anything to do with. However, when God brings it to your awareness, it is so that you can act on that through prayer and receive deliverance and be released of something that only the Holy Spirit could show you, because spiritually those things are real. When your parents and grandparents and others make oaths on your life, and you don't realize these things are impacting you, but they are.
Amen. Amen. So it's
this is Eric.
Go ahead.
This is Eric, and, you know, Brother Carver, I always love listening to what you have to say, but I think that when you don't know that they exist and you're in a true relationship with God, they'll be revealed to you.
Amen.
At that point, you allow God to work that out. And my testimony is that over the last couple of years, I've had some people in my office who for whatever reason, and Lord knows I've been good to that staff, just found it necessary to try to degrade me, try to make me look as bad as I could, lie in writing letters to community leaders and board leaders about me and my leadership and having an affair with one of my staff members and all kind of things. And I didn't retaliate. I did get angry. I ain't gonna lie about that, but I didn't retaliate. And just this past 2 weeks, three of those people have walked in my office and given me their resignation without me asking.
Amen.
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 And what I did was I prayed, and I didn't, you know, Dr. Nooks always get a laugh. I didn't pray that the Lord smite them, Dr. Nooks. But I prayed that he would help them to move on and find something else, and that they would be beneficial to them and their lives, and that they would just leave our employment and allow us to go ahead and do the work that we were called to do.
Amen.
Well, and you know what's neat about that? Is they'll learn not to touch God's anointed. But when, you know, when we share in the sufferings of Christ, one of the things I found is people who would otherwise ignore your great work start paying attention when other people start talking trash about you. And
yeah,
it really is a marketing activity of God where he's trying to get glory from your obedience. But that requires you to be obedient, keep your hands off of it, trust that God's going to handle it, and keep moving forward anyway so that you can give the kind of testimony you just gave.
Amen. You're absolutely right, Brother Carver. Absolutely right.
Amen.
This is Brett.
You know, this is Dean. I have a comment to make. Even though he prayed that they can move on to a better place and things like that, some people are just so ignorant that they don't even realize they're touching God's anointing. That they think they're going to hurt the situation by them leaving, and they don't realize that they're making a way that God has given them to walk out into something that is going to help them. But they just don't realize what is actually going around. They're that ignorant to the whole situation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Brett.
Yes, Brett.
I think that it depends on where you are with your walk and your faith. But
amen.
I have always been a person that has sat back, and a lot of times I'm quiet because I'm listening to what everybody's saying and I'm getting from everybody information that lets me know where we're at. But I have developed, or God has given me this gift, I'll put it that way, where I can talk to a person for 15 minutes and I'm pretty much tell you within 90% what they're like, what they don't, what they'll do, what they won't do. And I'm pretty much accurate on that. So when I sit back, I just feel that things are revealed to us when we're talking to people. If we ask the right questions, we will know what their hidden agenda is. And once you know what that person's hidden agenda is, then you know how to deal with that. I think that's something that God gives all of us, especially when we're serving him and doing what he wants us to do, that all that is revealed to us.
Well, and that's key, that we are doing what God wants us to do. And that gets back to our text in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, where this scripture here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So when we're in prayer And when we're walking according to the Spirit and we're in God, then we have the weapons necessary to pull down the strongholds. And we also have the ability to be able to see and discern. God gives us the gift of discernment. So, but, you know, when our spirit isn't right with God, then we got some problems. And that's what Satan likes to work on. He likes to put us in positions where we're not right with God, and then we don't have the weapons necessary to tear down the strongholds when we're not right with God. I wanted to go back and read that text again that I read in the beginning, because, Brett, you did said you didn't hear it. And this has to do with the family.
Matthew 10?
Huh? Yes, Matthew 10, 34 to 39. Matthew 10.
I have it, Dr. Nooks, if you mind if I read
okay.
it.
No, not at all.
I have it from the New Living Translation. Is that an okay translation?
Yes.
It says 34 through which, how far?
39.
30. Okay. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it.
Amen. So what does that say?
And,
amen.
You know,
God
has some requirements, Dr. Nick. God has some requirements
yeah.
for us. And this is really relevant for us at Christmas time. You know, because this is a time when people are meeting with their families they haven't seen in a long time, and folk have a tendency to get upset with that one relative that ain't perfect, you know, and get, you know, and sometimes mistreat them or mean or, you know, or they become the scapegoat for everything else that's happening in the house. But the reality is the word is saying here that the time is coming when we've got to deal with those who are against one another, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, that time, a period of challenge is in front of us, and it's happening to us every day. I hear it every day, that we have enemies in our own home. The enemy is trying to turn, to, like you said, Dr. Nutt, to create the strongholds, to create the division and maintain the division so that we lose the loved ones that we have to the enemy. But it says clearly, if we love God, we put God first. That's the key in our lives. If we put God first, not our children, not our spouse, not our in-laws, but God first, and then
Amen.
Everything will find a way to right itself. And if we trust God with our lives, and that's the part, you know, Christmas time is here. Folks are coming around. People you haven't heard of, the relatives
Amen.
That get on your nerve, your last nerve, every time. But what are we going to do with that? How are we going to treat them? How are we going to keep them allowing those strongholds to wreak havoc in our families?
Amen.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Sometimes our families can be the strongholds. What we what we elevate as important, you know, that can be. And you said it, Dr. Susie, if we put any of these things above God, then we've made them a stronghold.
And,
you know,
really, right, by making them an idol, by making them an idol, and basically
Amen.
There are, anything can be an idol, anything you elevate above God, because you'd put nothing above God. And you know, those four things God asks us to do, to please him and not people, to serve him and not money, to trust him and not lean to our own understanding, and operate in absolute faith and not our own limited strength. Those four things are serious. But if you know how to go past your mother and your father and your sister and your brother and your husband and your wife, and you stop worrying about pleasing them and focus on pleasing God, then you don't have to keep score about
every wrong that's done to you, you can obey God and forgive them in obedience to God no matter what they've done.
Amen.
As it should be. And sometimes you got to have, this is Eric, and sometimes you got to be willing to have a conversation that they may not want to hear.
Amen.
And, I mean, most of you have known me and been on this, and I've told y'all this. You know, I had to have that conversation with my wife. I was like, I love you dearly, but I love God more. And he's asked me to do this kind of work, and I'm going to do it. Till he tells me otherwise. And if it doesn't work for you, I understand. Love you. Don't wish any ill harm to you. But I'm doing what God is asking to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then that 39th
verse.
That's
not an easy conversation to have.
No, it is not.
Amen.
I've been there. I've had it.
Amen.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
Amen.
So it's not an easy conversation to have with your parents when you see them doing something that you know is against God, and you're like, hey, I love you, but that ain't right.
Mm-hmm. My Lord. My Lord.
Amen.
And they can be the patriarch or matriarch of the family or whatever, not, and, you know, and you feel like you can't go against that. And yeah, it's very difficult. But Jesus said, if you love them more than you love me, you're not worthy to be called mine. You're not worthy to be mine. I'd rather be Jesus than to be caught up in some family stronghold.
Amen, brother. I got a sister-in-law, and her and my brother was having problems, which I didn't realize and didn't know. And one day she said something to me that was out of the way, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And she's like, well, you know your brother was down there with that woman. I said, hold up. I can assure you that if my brother ever show up at my house without his wife, he ain't staying there. Now, I don't know what kind of family you come from, but let me tell you about me. If he show up at my door without his wife that I know he's married to, he can't stay there. Listen, you can be assured that if he was with me, he was by himself.
My Lord.
And she kind of looked at me and she says, well, most families, I said, I ain't most families. The head of my family is God. And God know that that ain't right, which means I know that ain't. So that don't work that way.
Amen.
And share that with him.
Amen.
I said, I don't know what you did when you left Chicago. By the time you left Chicago and got to Florida, I don't know what you did, and it ain't my business. But let me share this with you, brother. If it was somebody outside of the person you married to, you need to go get that corrected. So you either need
Amen.
To be married or you need to get out of it.
My Lord.
And so, I say that for the listeners because that would have been building a stronghold that I've got this person who's not of my blood, but is in my family through marriage, and trying to create this thing of y'all gonna look after each other. You can't be looking after wrong when it's wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
So family strongholds can do a job on us, but church strongholds can do a job on us too. And I want us to shift and look at Isaiah, Isaiah 1, 11 through 20. And I'd like for somebody to read that. Isaiah 11 through 20. And we want to talk about religious strongholds for a while.
This is Eric. I've got that in the New Living Translation. I am sick of your sacrifices, says the Lord. Don't bring me any more burnt offerings. I don't want the fat from your rams or other animals. I don't want the fat... I don't want to see the blood from your offerings of bulls and rams and goats. Why do you keep parading through my courts with your worthless sacrifices? The incense you bring me is a stench to my nostrils. your celebration of the new moon and the Sabbath day and your special days or fasting, even your most pious meetings, all is sinful and false. I want nothing more to do with them. I hate all your festivals and sacrifices. I cannot stand the sight of them. From now on, when you lift up your hands in prayer, I refuse to look. Even though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with blood, with the blood of the innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Let me no longer see your evil deeds. Give up your wicked ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let us argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. If you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. Where, how far do you want to go?
That was it. That was it.
Ooh. so how many of us have gone to sanctuaries and seeing people and they giving you the show, but God says, oh, I hate it. Hate the sight of it. Tired of it.
Amen.
Although you pray many times, you many prayers, I won't hear them. I refuse to listen. Used to look. But
so
then he tells us, Dr. Nelson, then he tells us, wash yourselves and be clean. Let me no longer see your wicked ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help your oppressed. Defend the orphans. Fight for the rights of the widows. So we gotta clean ourselves. We got to put ourselves in a position to be clean. And then we've got to come outside of ourselves because what this tells me is learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphans, fight for the rights of the widows. Get outside of yourself and do something for others that is righteous and that God will accept.
Amen.
And
go ahead. Finish.
Well, that's real difficult for us to get outside of ourselves.
Amen.
Because we think we are the center of the attention and the attraction.
My Lord.
Go on.
And we're not.
Amen.
God is the center, and we are His hands and feet, and He's asked us do for those that are in our presence, and not them to do for us.
Amen.
And what I really like, listeners, what I really, really like is, my Lord, that no matter how deep the stain your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow.
Amen.
Even if you are stained as red as crimson blood, I can make you as white as wool.
Amen.
Now, that's an awesome God.
Amen.
And He's made that available to me through Jesus Christ.
And I want to accept it. Well, there's the thing. That's a stronghold because people will not believe that God has set them free. They will not believe
that God
has cleaned them up.
All right.
They will not believe that they are new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that is definitely a stronghold. Because if you don't believe that God has saved you, my Lord, you are bound up.
You know what you call that stronghold?
Amen.
Unbelief.
Amen. And this is Eric. And not only are you bound up, but you are creating even more problems for yourself because you think that you can save yourself. And you cannot.
All right.
You can't do it by good works. You can't do it by osmosis and positive thinking and all of that stuff. You got to surrender and say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm accepting the gift that you have given me. And it is totally on you.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Lester, you getting ready to say something?
Yes,
Yeah, basically I was saying that the stronghold is unbelief. And unbelief is a disease because it disqualifies you from everything from salvation to deliverance to reward. And God is asking you to accept and believe his promise contract with him, not to enter into a contractual agreement according to the law. He wants you to simply accept and believe and receive his promises as the free gift that Eric was speaking about earlier.
Amen.
Amen. This is Brett.
I agree with you to a point, but along with what you were just saying, we have got to understand that we have to give up trying to be in charge of everything. We have to surrender totally and allow God to work in us. Unless we surrender and put all of our trust in him, then we are always going to ride that fence, and we're always going to fall on the wrong side of the fence, and that way it takes it longer for God to do what he needs to do for us.
Amen. Amen. When Eric read this, what came to your mind when God said he didn't want to see any sacrifice, no burnt offerings, didn't want to hear your prayers, people parading in front of God in the courts and ceremony and pomp? I didn't say pomp, but circumstance. And what came to your mind when Eric read that?
I'll tell you what I thought about. This is Lester. I thought about where it says in the Bible that obedience is better than sacrifice, and how people over time get immune and comfortable in the presence of God, putting on a show for people when they know they're supposed to be in the place of God, and then they realize that, oh, they can be in the place of God acting like everybody else and in as bad a condition as they were when, before they came in there. And the last time they were there, for that matter. Because it's about pleasing people, and the fact is, people aren't always looking at you, but God is always observing you. And if your performance before him is correct in prayer, in fasting, in study of the word, in obedience to him, in fellowship with like-minded believers, and these things we know to do to build up our spirit so that our spirit isn't sick, so that our soul is strengthened by a strong spirit instead of dominated by our fleshly nature, which, we can't feed both dogs at the same time. You got to pick one, or one is going to dominate over the other. And if your spirit is sick, that means your flesh is strong, and you need to feed the other dog in your life.
Amen.
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 Amen. This is deep. What came to my mind during the reading of that is that there's a, I'm not judging, but there's a lot of Pharisees that are in the church. I mean,
amen.
Like you said, you run around, you're praying, you're falling out, you want to scream the loudest and have the loudest amen in the church. But like you said, God sees you at all the time. You can impress me in the church at any given time because I only see you once a week. And that's 2 hours a day, 2 hours for that week. But I don't know what you're doing the other 6 days on those other 24 hours. You could be raising total hell out there. And thank you for being and clean up by a few hoots, hollers, and shouts. And that's from the pulpit to the back wall.
Amen.
Hey, this is Eric. You're absolutely right, Brother D. This is Eric. And Brother Carver, this is the scripture you were talking about is found in 1 Samuel 15, starting at 22, and I want to read 22 through 23. But Samuel replied, What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to him is much better than offering the fat of rams. And this is the key that I think a lot of people miss. Rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols.
My Lord.
This is
amen on that.
So the moral of that story is, do what the Lord asks you to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
You know, you talk about is read that piece about is worse than witchcraft. I mean, do we really believe that that's not good? Because today, you know, people think that that's okay. People think that, you know, we fantasize and blow up Dracula and all these other places and things that are going on, and we encourage our kids to get into, you know, I think it's called desensitization. The things that are evil, we downplay those. So when the enemy comes through and sends all this stuff that is not of God, then it's in disguise and we don't see it.
Amen.
So, you know, we have to be cognizant of this kind of thing at Christmas time, what it is that we're giving our children, how we're interacting with what we bring into our house, the strongholds that we may be bringing and setting up by not being obedient to what we understand or even not read enough, paying enough attention to what it is we do know, so that we don't build up or condone or support the enemy's attempts to establish strongholds in a family, be it the immediate family, the extended family. But, you know, we have to be intentional to do something about that and be cognizant when those kind of potential things arise.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Dee. And when you said that, it just flashed into my mind. One of the biggest shows on Fox regular TV channel is not hidden by any name at all. It's just straight out called Lucifer. And all these cult kids and different youth are watching this and talking about this like a regular soap opera, like nothing is going on is real. But his name is out there. It's invading the homes, and the parents are letting it go.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. You know, this made me think of conventions in the Baptist conventions, and made me think of people parading around in their big hats and fancy suits. And then when it came to helping people, we didn't hardly have time for that. But we were more concerned about getting elected to office and about who raised the most money and standing up and saying, well, who's going to give me $100? Who's going to give me $50? Come on down. But when it came to helping the poor or helping the homeless or helping the sick, there was almost no discussion about that. It made me think about many churches, not only in the convention, but churches where you don't have a budget to help anybody, but you got a budget to buy, you know, fancy cars and put on banquets and all these kind of things, but you don't have time or money to help people. And it says here, wash yourself and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans.
So,
go ahead. I'm talking to you.
So when we're looking at family strongholds and the religious strongholds, as it relates to this, we got to be careful what it is we're teaching, what it is
Amen.
We're modeling
Amen.
In front of our family.
Amen.
You know,
correct.
And when we see things like a minister or an apostle or prophet or whatever they want to call themselves, doing those kind of things on the television visibly, we need to talk to our children about them and our family and talk about, you know, what's right, what's wrong, so that when they see it, as Dee was saying earlier, We don't want them to become desensitized. We want them to be aware that this is evil. We want them to be aware of what is right and what is wrong. Because we can, you know, all that, whatever is right and wrong for you, whatever you want it to be, you know, I don't know, Brother Eric. I'm messing with Eric now, because I know Eric was like, you know, in my house, come on, somebody.
Yeah. Go on.
That's for me and my house.
What was that saying that your grandma slapped you in the next week?
Yeah.
Shoot, it'd be past
Dr.
next
Susie.
Week.
Yeah, Dr. Susie.
Grandma didn't play that stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I think the reason why you don't hear a lot of people talking about that particular show is because people have quit going to church. They quit believing. And that is the problem that we face in this world today, that there are people that were raised in the church. I'm 70. I know there's people my age that were raised in the church. They know better, but they have fallen by the wayside, and they just let things go their own little merry way so that they can have peace in their household and they don't have to come up and start talking about what's right and what we need to be doing. So therefore, they have gotten to be just like the younger generation is now. They've gotten away so far away from God. And that's why I tell a lot of people, the reason that we're going through what we're getting ready to go through now is I really believe that God let Trump win this election so that we have to come back to him. For people have got to start praying again. Where you got to start believing in God's word. Because God is the only one that's going to save us for this next 4 years.
Well,
amen, amen, amen.
And the reality is, it should be a reality check for us to look at ourselves. I don't want to talk even about looking at nobody else, but I don't know how many times Brother Eric said to us ahead of time, we need to get up and get out and to do something, to write, to open your mouth,
amen,
to get involved, and quit passing the blame to somebody else. Deal with your own stuff. Make your own, you know, we got to make transformations in our own house. We're talking about overcoming strongholds in the family. And if you won't stand for justice in front of your children and your wives and spouses, how are they going to feel like that's the right thing to do? Specifically those men on the line who are, you know, want to be leaders in the home.
There you go.
I mean, y'all agree with me? I mean, I can't speak for a man.
I agree with.
I mean, what's that? Amen,
amen, amen, amen, Dr. Susan.
Amen.
I mean, it's the truth.
I'd like to
hear. Brother Nelson, you back in there?
There's a plaque on my front door, and people put in our hallway all these little plaques out and different sins on their doors. I was lucky enough to go to Family Dollar and find the plaque that says, "For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And you're going to know that walking into my house. I'm not playing about it. I'm being about it. And that's the only thing that I have to, that's all I can be about.
Amen.
Amen. So I have one question for you, Dr. Nixon, and those of you. So, you know, we've talked about strongholds in the family. What is the role that we need to do during this holiday season to maintain the kind of love that Christ portrays and to keep the kind of breakdown, to prevent the strongholds from being established during this holiday season? What do we need to do? What do the men need
to
do? What are those people? I mean, is it something that the leaders and the family can do?
And we need to be in prayer, and we need to be in the Word, and we need to understand that we are in a battle and that the Satan is busy, and we're not warring according to the flesh, just like 2 Corinthians 10 tells us, 3-6. But we need to be realizing that we need God to tear down these strongholds, and so we need to be getting closer to God and setting an example in our homes and in our churches as to how we should be acting as the children of God.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, let me say this. This is Eric. I think that the way, part of the way that we do that as well, because Dr. Nooks is right. I mean, you got to do all of those things and probably then some. But I also think that is that when you, if you are the leader of the household and you are aware that something is out of whack, you need to stop. You need to have the conversation in a manner that respects the other person. And then you need to point it back to the word. For it is written, mm-hmm. Thus said the Lord, God has said X. And that's what we're going to follow. And we're not going to deviate from that. I mean, because you got to get some understanding. And so when something is amiss in your family, and I had to do that with a sister of mine, I'm like, I don't know what the issue is, but, you know, you causing me some problems in some of the stuff that you're saying and the way that you act and the way that you treat. And it was like, well, you got more than I did. I'm like, how I get more than you did? We grew up in the same household till you were 12. How did I get more than you did? And it was the perception.
Right.
It wasn't the reality of it. It was the perception.
The deception.
And I had to pray about that and then have some conversation. And it's still not great, but it's better than it has been. And every time I talk to her, I get a chance to witness to her.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let me ask y'all this question. What about when Christmas comes, and we know we're going to have family around every year, how come when we can put up the Christmas tree, we can put lights on the Christmas tree, we can prepare the food, why can't we prepare for the spiritual battle up front? Why can't we prepare for the spiritual in the spiritual realm to prepare our families for this time of celebration before it happens? I hear you, Brother Eric, saying when you see it, deal with it, but can't we do some preventive stuff? Can't we start praying now? Can we start doing some preparation now
to
overcome those
strongholds? You can start praying now and get a little fasting in too. And you can do this. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil so that after the battle you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth. And put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In every battle, you need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. You can do that.
And we give gifts to our families, right? We give gifts. Why can't we give our family the gift of coming together and having devotion and prayer time? Why can't we give them the gift of this is what Christmas is really about, the love of Jesus and manifesting that love through teaching and preaching and training right there in your own home, what the word is about, what the story is about, the narrative is about, so that you break down those strongholds before they even get going, that love is planted in the midst of your family, your immediate family members. So even if, like you said, Brother Eric, when the fiery darts start coming, you got your armor on.
Amen.
We'll go and get a monetary gift. Why can't we give a spiritual gift?
I agree with you, Dr.
It doesn't. It doesn't end when you pray once. This is a continual battle. And that's where we sometimes mess up. We think that we can pray once and that's it. And then there the enemy is right there just waiting for you to let down your prayers.
There you go.
So, I mean, this is a
there
continuous battle.
Right.
That we need to be in.
Yeah, Dr. Susie, I agree with you. And I don't know if you've been looking at my Facebook page, but this last week I posted twice that this Christmas, everybody needs to sit down on Christmas Eve and turn into their Bibles, go to Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. And you go into chapter 2 for the ending of it. But it's about the coming of Jesus Christ and how the angel Gabriel let Mary know and let her cousin know that they were about to conceive. That's what the real story of Christmas is. It's not about the giving of the gifts. The gifts were something that the three wise men came and gave Jesus. And we've taken that and blown it out of proportion. But the true gift is what God gave us on that night. And that's his
Amen.
Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where Amen. We as families need to be pointing our kids back to get them to understand, hey, Christmas is not just about this Christmas tree and the gifts that you get and the dinner that you get, but it's about the birth of Jesus Christ and the reason why he came here. And if you can get a child's attention to start asking more questions once that is read to them, or if they're old enough to read, let each person read a couple of verses in the Bible and tell the story. That will give them
Amen.
More meaning as to what Christmas is
Amen.
About.
And
so,
I want to say one last thing before we go, Brother Brent. I love what you're saying. Thank you for bringing us back to the reason for the season to remind people before we get off the line. Because there's some churches
Amen.
Who feel like it's a tradition to read things like it was a night before Christmas. I ain't calling no names. But the reality is this. We ought not be reading about Santa Claus in the church. We need to be telling the story of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because that is what the church is all about.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Dr. Susie is after 8, so perhaps
all right.
we'll turn it
can
over
we
to
get,
you.
Can we get a prayer line? And if we could get somebody to volunteer to close us in prayer tonight, is there anybody on the line that would like to do that tonight? Thank you, Dr. Nook. So
okay.
I'm just meddling with you, Doc, if you don't want to. You.
No,
but,
that's what I
but thank
I would
you
love
so
to
much.
That.
We need to lift up some prayer for our outgoing President Barack Obama and his family. We offer prayers for them
yeah.
and his children as they seek to try to transition into something different, like one of his daughters is getting ready to go to college and what that would look like. We ask prayer for those of us in the United States who are aware that Russia was involved with us and has penetrated into this country and does things actively in the United States. We need to be praying about that. We need to be praying about the things that, you know, we can control, our children, how we teach them, how we share the gospel to them, that as this year is coming, that not only will we focus on Jesus Christ, but that when our new year comes, we would have a different kind of mentality to start to be intentional about seeding in them to prepare them for what's coming so that they're aware and they're knowledgeable and that we act accordingly. You know, that this year we could step up a little bit more from where we did last year. And I know some of us have been stepping up all through the year, but that we could even take another step up towards what that looks like to share the good news. Brother Lester always talks about our purpose is to do what? Our purpose in Christ is to reconcile. What is it, Brother Lester? Reconcile the world to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So let's be about doing that and teaching our children what that's about, living that in front of other people. Thank you, Brother Eric. In the midst of trials and tribulation, you're still trying to be that example. Amen. And that we would lift up the people on the line who are struggling with jobs. I need a job. I'm looking for a ministry myself. So is Sean. Brother Mark always needs to be lifted up with his businesses and all those things as well. Anybody else needing prayer on the line?
Yeah, just Brett. Yesterday I had the pleasure of talking to somebody I haven't talked to in 39 years. And they're just coming out of a stroke. And I was 21 when I met them, and her and her husband were like a second family to me when I was in the military.
Uh-huh.
So her name is Esther,
and
I'm just asking for prayer for her, get back to use of her hands so that she can start doing some things for herself.
Amen. We also like to lift up prayer for James, who was in a car wreck and totaled his car. My son James, please be praying for him.
Okay.
For the Yeah. And is there anybody else? Anybody's family needs to be lifted up at this time. I ask for mercy, travel mercies for those of you who are going to be on the road. And I ask for protection for the people who have to go up and down the road and their families. And that their homes would, that we would, somebody strengthen, ask for specific covering, that strongholds would not be able to permeate into those family gatherings, and that God would reign and rule and protect God's own. So, Dr. Nooks, okay. If you're ready to close us out.
Amen. God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your presence in our lives. And we thank you, God, for helping us with the strongholds, helping us to see ourselves and how we have contributed to and walked in,
yes,
and supported strongholds. And we come against them tonight in Jesus' name. And God, we pray that you would tear down many strongholds and help us to see strongholds that are all around us. God, we ask you to bless the family in a special way, and the strongholds would not prevail. We pray that we can be examples to our children. We pray, God, that we can be examples in the church, and we pray for our church and the tearing down of strongholds in the church. God, we pray for our country. We need your touch, God, and we pray for Barack Obama. We pray for Donald Trump. We pray for those that will be leading our country, that you would ultimately be in the lead, God, to give them direction and give them the vision that is necessary. God, we pray for many countries being attacked, people being attacked all over the world today, assassinations, wars, and rumors of wars everywhere we look. And God, we pray for peace in our hearts and in our spirits, understanding that some of this is talked about in your word, but God, give us the peace that we need as individuals, as your children. And God, we pray that we can be witnesses and tell the truth and teach and be an example to not only our children, but to those that are around us. God, we pray a special prayer for jobs, for many that are in need. We pray for the homeless in a special way, God, at this time of the year. We pray for Brett's friend, I think it was Esther, that she would recover from her stroke, God. And many people are sick, and we need your touch of healing right now. With your stripes, we are healed. We pray for James Beavers, who has been in a car,
yes,
wreck, that you would just be with him, God, and we pray for any healing in his body. We pray also for comfort,
yes, Lord,
at the thought of the wreck. And we pray for traveling mercies for many, God, that are traveling in our country,
yes,
and all over the world. And we come in a strong way against personal strongholds also. And God, we're so grateful for your love, for your patience and your kindness. God, if we didn't have you, we don't know what we would do. So we thank you for your son, Jesus, tonight, that we're going to be celebrating his birth in a few days. Help us to understand the true meaning of Christmas and the great gift that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being so much to us, God. And we give our lives to you, God, and ask you to continue to strengthen us and help us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.